Wind of the Holy Spirit. I feel like I've been blown around this morning. I left a robe somewhere. I was going to wear a robe because of communion, but I don't know. I can't remember where I left it at. But anyway, with that said, I watched that video this morning. I remembered that whenever I first came, second year I was in Myrtle Beach, we had a job at Lakewood Campground, and we had a singing group called Faith Incorporated. There were seven of us in the group, and we sang at Lakewood Campground. And we had a big discussion in our group whether or not we should have an agenda. Whether we should have, you know, the songs written out with where people are going to share their testimonies. And because I tend to fly around and wing it sometimes, I thought it was a bad idea to have an agenda written out. Let's just let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we'll see where we go. Well, we voted, and I got outvoted, 4-3, that we would have the words written out and be before us so we would know where we're going. And you can imagine the four girls voted agenda. The three guys said we didn't need one. Sound familiar, right? And so we did that, and we got there that first service. Now, if you've been to Lakewood Campground, you know that the shell down front, the pavilion, is out in the open, and the ocean breezes blow there. And we laid them down there, and, you know, first song, the wind just blew the agendas off the stage. And after I said, I see, I told you, the Holy Spirit didn't want us to do that. So we want to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit here today. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is welcome here today. Let's allow him to move among us. For 45 years, Pat Summerall was the face of college and NFL football on CBS. He broadcasted 16 Super Bowls. Pat Summerall was an only child whose parents divorced before he was born. He grew up feeling empty and alone, and it was alone until he turned to alcohol for comfort. It wasn't too long after that he became an alcoholic, living from drink to drink as his body broke down. It was during the 1994 Masters golf tournament that he admitted to the world, "I've been getting sick a lot, throwing up blood. I got sick again at 4 a.m. I looked in the mirror and saw what a terrible sight I was, and I said to myself, this isn't how I want to live. This isn't how I want to live." Now, if you come here today and you're searching for a new life, and you're at a point in your life where you're saying, this isn't how I want to live, God's Spirit is here this morning. Pat Summerall began the work of recovery. He spent 33 days in the Betty Ford Center. That helped alleviate his alcohol problems, but he ran into an old football coach who told him that Jesus could meet his emptiness on the inside. He connected him with the Dallas Cowboy chaplain, John Weber. And Pat Summerall's life was transformed, and he was baptized at the age of 69. God's people said,
amen.
Somebody today may need to be baptized. Chaplain John Weber had this to say about Summerall's journey. Pat was once the life of every party, with a drink or a spirit in his hand. Now he gets his power from another source. The Holy Spirit has changed his life. And today, God's Holy Spirit can change your life. As Christ followers, we've declared today in worship, in affirmation, that we believe in the Holy Spirit. The namesake of our church, Mount Horeb, was where the Spirit of God appeared in a burning bush to Moses and said, "Lead my people out of slavery." I believe that today God is still speaking in a burning bush in a place called Mount Horeb to set my people free. In the Nicene Creed, we declare we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Spirit. David read for you, again, from the Amplified Version, "And I will ask the Father," Jesus speaking, "and he will give you another helper." Anybody here this morning need some help? Come on now. Anybody here need some help? Jesus said, "I want to give you help. The comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, stand by to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, have more truer words not been spoken? The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they do not believe in the truth. But you, who are gathered here today, come seeking the truth. He goes on to say, the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains in you continually and will be in you. So this morning I ask you, why do we struggle so much with the Holy Spirit? We talk about God the Father, our Heavenly Father. We talk about Jesus the Son, but we hesitate to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. I would say the first thing is familiarity. A lack of familiarity. We don't understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he came to do. And this sermon series is called The Holy Spirit, God in the Present Tense. That God is present today in the world, in you as a believer, through the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God's Spirit wants to be an important part of your life. And if you're not familiar with the Holy Spirit, it is our prayer that through this sermon series, you will become more acquainted, familiar with the Holy Spirit. 8 years ago, it's hard to believe it was 8 years ago, we did a sermon series here called Forgotten God, based upon Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God, about the Holy Spirit. And I agree with Francis Chan that the reason he wrote the book is that many of our mainline denominations, certainly including the Methodist Church, the Holy Spirit has been neglected. The Holy Spirit has been forgotten. And Francis Chan says millions of churchgoers across America cannot confidently say they've experienced the Holy Spirit's presence or action in their lives in the last year. And many of those believers don't believe they can. Familiarity, forgotten, and I would say this, we struggle with the Holy Spirit because we are frightened of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid of what might happen if we seek to be fully in the presence of God. Now, I was blessed this morning, and we're blessed this morning to have in our midst folks who have come out of a Pentecostal background. People who aren't afraid of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that the Pentecostal folks came out of the Methodist Church. And they left the Methodist Church. Why? Because the Methodist people were neglecting the Holy Spirit. And so they went and formed their own movement. And there have been several movements that have formed out of the Methodist Church over the years because of a neglecting of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a part of any church that's neglecting, forgetting about, are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a second to that?
Amen. Amen.
Many years ago, I had the privilege and blessing of going to Cuba with Dr. Eddie Fox. And in Cuba, we experienced Methodism in a Pentecostal way. Very Pentecostal Methodist church in Cuba. I saw things there I've never seen before, never seen since. Because there was a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I saw miracles, amazing miracles happen. One of the traditions there, one of the experiences there that was common whenever the bishop of Cuba would preach or even pray, Bishop Pierre, was people would get slain in the Spirit. I don't know if you know what that is. I've never experienced that, but I've witnessed it, where people get so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit that they kind of pass out. They faint or not necessarily slain. I shared this is going on live streams, so I better be careful when I say this. I shared with our men's prayer breakfast this morning that we need a bunch of bishops in the Methodist Church to get slain in the Spirit. Or for God just to go ahead and slay him. I'm not sure which one. But we need some Holy Spirit movement upon the leadership of our Methodist Church here in the world. And we need to pray for that to happen. Pray for that to happen, because I'm frightened what's going to happen if we neglect the Holy Spirit. Well, in Cuba, I knew that Bishop Pierre was a Spirit-filled man, and a bishop that was filled with the Spirit. And I went to him, and through an interpreter, asked him to pray for me. and to anoint me and for ministry. And I believe that that prayer that he prayed over me had a tremendous impact on my life. But it was interesting, in the tradition of Bishop Pierre praying, he was fully expecting me to get slain in the spirit. And so as he prayed for me and put his hand on my chest, he was pushing me to kind of go, and I was pushing back. And he would push, and I'd push back. And we had this little pushing thing back and forth, because I wasn't feeling that. Because the Holy Spirit comes upon all of us in different ways. And there is no one way that the Holy Spirit impacts people. And so finally, Bishop Pierre realized that I was a Methodist pastor from the U.S. who was not going to get slain in the Spirit on that day. But I do believe that there was a tremendous anointing of God's Spirit upon me because of his incredible prayer that he prayed over me. Next weekend, we're doing something that we don't typically do. And I don't want you to be frightened about it. I don't want you to stay away. But we're going to have in all of our services a time of healing. And we're going to invite people to come to different stations in the auditorium here in the sanctuary. And we're going to invite people to be prayed for healing, for physical healing, for emotional healing, and for spiritual healing. Because God moves in those ways and wants to move in those ways in our life. And I believe that, and I won't give you my whole sermon, though I'm preaching over there next week, is that God sometimes heals instantly. Sometimes God heals gradually. And God always heals ultimately in resurrection. Amen? And we'll pray about that next week. And we're going to have a season of time when there's going to be some quiet time in our sanctuary, music being played, and nobody will be speaking. Don't be frightened by that. Be praying about that. I'd ask all of you to pray that next week would be a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited that some of the people that are going to be praying with me are some of our doctors. We're going to be praying that the Holy Spirit would work. And I love having doctors that pray, don't you? Man, when my doctor prays with me, I'm feeling like I'm getting both medicinal things. I'm getting all that they know medically, and I'm getting all the Holy Spirit can do through them. I want a doctor that prays with me, okay? And I think it's powerful when they do that. So don't be frightened. So who is the Holy Spirit? I want to move through this. First of all, the Holy Spirit is promised to us. Acts 2, 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My friends, we are living in the last days. The days between Jesus' first appearance and Jesus' second coming. We're in the last days, and God is pouring out his Spirit upon his people. And there's evidence of it, not just in Cuba, but in all parts of the world, there are tremendous outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to be a part of a church that misses that. I don't want to miss the work of the Holy Spirit in this place. Do you? I want to be a Spirit-filled place. People say they feel something when they walk in the door. It is the Spirit of God that they're feeling. Before a song is ever sung, before a sermon is ever preached, we want God's Spirit to be present. Now, here's the secret to that, is God's Spirit fills this place when you bring him with you. Because God's Spirit is in you. God doesn't stay here during the week. He goes home with you. He goes to work with you, and you're supposed to bring him back because he's within you, and that fills this place, God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is promised in these last days. I believe the Holy Spirit is promised to everyone in this room. Now, I believe that there are people in this room and throughout our campus that are resisting the Holy Spirit. Much like I resisted being slain, there's people resisting the Spirit of God in simple ways today. On Friday morning, because I knew this weekend was so important and this series was so important, I went to our men's prayer breakfast and about, I don't know how many men we have. We had 75 men Friday morning, something like that. Somewhere 60, 70 men were there. And I asked them to join me around me and lay hands on me and pray for me. And because Trevor was sleeping and he was preaching over there, I said, I'm sitting up here for Trevor too. And you pray for me and Trevor and you lay hands on us. I want you to pray that we'll be anointed with the Holy Spirit. So then we preach this weekend that the Spirit of God will speak through us. And those men did that. We had a powerful time of praying. And I felt the presence of God come over us. and come over me. And I knew that even though I had pages of notes, it didn't really matter because God's Spirit was going to speak this morning. Amen? And I texted Trevor. I said, Trevor, I just want you to know you've been prayed over. We have prayed over you and asked God to anoint you with His Holy Spirit so you can preach effectively. And as the men were praying out loud, some of them praying out loud, some of them being silent, the Lord spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and said, now, we haven't done concerns yet. You know, you've not done concerns. I said, I'm listening, I'm thinking, I'm praying. And the Lord said as clearly to me as the bell, says, you just have the men to pray all the concerns out loud. And so I invited the men, then all 70, 60, 80 men, how many were there, just began to pray out loud all their concerns. I heard people praying for their sister, their parents, their child, their grandchild, all out loud, all at the same time, in a very Spirit-filled moment. It was powerful. Was it not, Ray? It was powerful. Ray was there. Experienced that. Powerful. And I believe that power is present here today. The power to change our lives. The power that Pat Summerall found and was baptized at 69. The same power that these special needs students felt this morning when they were baptized. The Holy Spirit is promised. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. Say this word with me, Ruach. Put it up on the screen. There it is. Say it with me, Ruach. You got to get that, Ruach. That's a Hebrew word for spirit. It is the wind of God. It is the breath of God. It is the Spirit of God. It is the personal presence of God. When you were born, God breathed His Spirit upon you. God breathed His Spirit upon us. And God breathes His Spirit upon this creation. And it was good. And just as your breathing right now keeps you alive, I believe that God's Spirit is keeping this creation going. And it's not our scientific knowledge. It's not us figuring it all out. It is God breathing upon His creation through His Spirit, keeping it going. We can't stop a volcano in Hawaii. I mean, how many people we figure out, if a volcano is going to blow up, Hawaii is going to fall off the map. You know, I mean, is it going to happen, right? But there's going to be parts of our creation that are broken. And when God says it's done, it's done. And there's nothing you and I are going to be able to do about it because God's sovereignty, His Spirit, is breathing life into His creation. And God's Spirit is breathing life into you and to me. God's Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament for specific purposes. God's Spirit spoke through prophets. And in the New Testament, God's Spirit came upon Jesus in a dove at His baptism. And the words, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." And then Jesus brought to us the new kingdom. And then Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit onto His disciples. And then they were filled and they went out and changed the world. God wants to breathe on you today. Breathe on you to receive His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God, is promised. The Holy Spirit is a person. I want to just help you make sure you understand that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it, not a thing, not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be a counselor, a teacher. He's worthy to be praised. When I share with confirmation classes through the years and trying to explain the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, that God, I use this illustration that God is H2O, you know, and that H2O can be in three forms, a gas, a solid, and a liquid, for three different purposes. And God chooses to reveal Himself in three different ways for three different purposes. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we worship Jesus, we worship the Father, we worship the Holy Spirit, because God's Spirit is with us. So it's a person, not a thing, not an emotion, none of that. And then the Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit is power. You know, whenever Nick was mentioning about Vacation Bible School, many of you in this room have served in Vacation Bible School. We couldn't have done, we had over 1,000 volunteers last year, couldn't have done Bible School without 1,000 volunteers. And we're going to need 1,200 plus volunteers this year. I'm just making a prophecy here, right? At least 1,200 volunteers. And some of you are sitting back going, I've never done that. I don't know if I can do that or not. I'm not sure I can do it. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can do Bible School. Right, Richard? Right, Sarah? I look at all these volunteers through the years. Right, Bob? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can do Bible school. He will give you the power you need to do Bible school. And whatever it is, right? Whatever ministry it is, special needs ministry. How do you have how do you find the strength to do special needs ministry? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, those special needs students can see the Holy Spirit in you. They can see the Holy Spirit in you. I had a guy I was talking to who lived a rough life. I mean, he had been the worst of the worst and the chief of sinners, and he came to know Jesus. And we're having lunch one day, and there was a baby on the table next to us, and the baby was gooing at him and googling and googling and googling. And he says, "That's amazing." He says, "I always make babies cry. Babies cry all the time around me. That baby, they're smiling." I said, "That because that baby can see the Spirit of Jesus in you now. Before, those babies could see something else in you, and it wasn't Jesus, right?" See, there's a real power that God comes in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to transform our hearts. I believe the Holy Spirit has the power to transform the church from being anemic and apathetic. And all across Methodism, all across denominations, you have churches that are anemic and apathetic because they don't have the Holy Spirit moving in their midst. I believe the Holy Spirit has the power to transform any addiction, any affliction, or any attraction. Whatever it is that is leading you away from the will of God, the Holy Spirit has the power to help you beat that and defeat that. So let me say a word about the roles of the Holy Spirit. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, what happens? The first thing is convicts. Convicts. Jesus said it this way in John 16, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And the Holy Spirit convicts us that we need God, that God is missing in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us to tell us the truth about ourselves. Isn't it safe to say that most of us here are guilty of lying to ourselves? That's not really that bad. That's really not that big a deal. That's not really a problem. That won't really matter. I'll fix that later. I've always said the evil one lies to you to make you worse. Is that a true statement? Lies to you to make you worse. God tells you the truth to make you better. See, the Holy Spirit will convict you, convict me, convince us that he loves us and wants to change our lives. The Holy Spirit also, in convicting, now, if you've known the power of conviction, it's uncomfortable. It ain't a good feeling. And I don't recommend it for anybody, but everybody in this room needs to be convicted. We need to be uncomfortable. We need to struggle and wrestle with the holiness of God, because we're unholy and God is holy. So the Holy Spirit makes us uncomfortable. And I'm glad to declare that in addition to convicting, the Holy Spirit also will comfort you. He's a comforter. And the Holy Spirit comforts you through his presence. That God wants to comfort you. And there are times in our life when we need comforting. And we don't need it from Southern Comfort. We need it from the Holy Spirit, right? We need it from a scripture. We need it from a sermon. We need it from a song. We need it from a prayer. We need it from a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that can be simple, but also be phenomenal. And you know that it was God. You know it was God. The comfort through his presence. The Holy Spirit will comfort you through others to say just the words we need. He will use people to run alongside you and pick you up. I've got a stack. I got them. I was going to bring them in here this morning. I just grabbed a handful of cards that I just keep putting in my desk. And I've got just a bunch of cards in my desk where God laid upon someone. The Holy Spirit says, send the pastor a card. He needs a word of encouragement. Now, let me just go to tell you that those cards that come to me anonymously, I throw away, okay? Because usually they're full of a complaint, and I don't need a complaint. And if you can't sign a card, I'm not going to read it, right? And but these are signed cards from people that say, I just want to give you a word. Now, I will say, if there's a card that comes anonymously with a big check in it, I'll hand it to the treasurer and say, y'all, take care of that. But we know that God uses people to comfort us. And I've been comforted so many times. How many of you have been comforted by someone that God sent into your life? At just the right time, you got a call, you got a text, you got an email, right? God sent somebody, and God will do, He comforts us that way through people. But the third thing is God, the Holy Spirit, comforts others through you. When you write a note, when you send an email, and you ask God to give you the right words to speak, to leave the right impression, to come alongside hurting people, God wants to use you to comfort others. Last Monday, I had not been out walking for a couple, 3 days. I needed to go walk and just get some exercise. And I the idea impressed me, just go walk 9 holes of golf, right? And I was going, I don't know, I have not walked 9 holes of golf in a long time. I'm not sure I can make it through 9 holes of golf. But this impression was, go walk 9 holes of golf. And I'm going, I don't know. And so I wrestled with it, I waited and waited. It's about 5:30, I went out there and was going to walk 9 holes. Well, I get out there, it's a Monday, and they said, we got a tournament going on, you can't play. It's going to be 6:30 or so before you can play. I'm going, well, see there, God, I told you I should just walk at home. And I came out here. So I go out to the practice green. I said, well, I'm here, I'll putt a little bit. And I ran into a young woman who's a member of our church who plays golf at Presbyterian College. She's a rising senior. And we started talking. She says, I've been trying to play golf for 3.5 hours. I got this tournament going on, can't play golf. And so we started talking, and I realized she was struggling with what's next in her life. What was God going to have for her to do when she got to be a senior, got ready to graduate from college? What's next? And so we began to talk, and then it got closer to 6:30, and I said, hey, we just go walk 9 holes. So we walked 9 holes, and for 9 holes, we talked about the Lord and talked about what was next in her life. When we got to the end in the parking lot, I said, Aunt Elizabeth, I want to say a prayer for you because God made this appointment. God set this up. I didn't want to be here, and you waited 3.5 hours to actually play. God had a plan and a purpose in that, and we had a Holy Spirit moment there in the parking lot. God is going to use her this summer in a new way. God comforts, but also God counsels us. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He received from me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth. And we need truth today. We live in a world that is void of truth. We live in a world that is full of relative truth, that people want to make up truth to be whatever it is. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, to be our teacher from the Scriptures, the truth. Have you been there when God has tried to tell you the truth and you wouldn't listen? You know what I'm talking about. Whenever you got upset about something, and God told you to let it go, don't have that conversation. Walk away. And what did you do? You ignored, and you plunged right in there. And after all of you go, man, I wish I would. And God said, I told you to walk away. Now, come on, husbands, how many of you have done that, right? Walk away, let it go. It's not a big deal. Nope, got to say something. And you just didn't listen to what God told you the truth to walk away. To let it go, or to go do something. Go make it right. I know, I don't want to do that right. I'll do it later. And then later doesn't, you get the phone call, and later doesn't happen because there's a tragedy or something, and you just didn't do what you're supposed to do. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth and guide you.
When I was in Cuba, there was a young woman who was our interpreter, and we had a group of Spanish-speaking leaders around the Southern Hemisphere, Bishop of Mexico, the Bishop of Guatemala, different Southern Hemisphere countries. So nobody spoke English except for me. And so we had a Spanish-speaking interpreter who was a seminary student from California, very liberal in her theology, questioned all that she saw, didn't believe any of it. This is all a big to-do about nothing. She was very, very jaded, very skeptical, very confused. Kind of like some of our clergy today. Confused. Well, she kept interpreting for us, and these things were going on, and, You know, about 7 or 8 days into it, I noticed when she started coming to our sessions to translate, she was weeping. She was crying. Yeah, and I didn't understand why she was crying. And I wanted to find out, so I didn't get a chance to talk to her. So we were in Miami Airport on the way back into the U.S., way back from Cuba. And so I asked her, I said, I noticed about day 7, day 8, that you started weeping. Did you get some bad news, something going on at home? She says, you know, it's amazing. She says, I was at this prayer gathering with Bishop Pierre, and it was communion, and there were about 20 of us gathering, and he was praying over us, and I was standing off to the side because I didn't believe in all this stuff. And said, all of a sudden, I felt this pressure on my chest, and this, I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought I was going to have a panic attack. And she said, I didn't know what to do, so she said, I went down to my knees, and I got on my knees, and I knelt down on my knees and just trying to get some relief, and said, all of a sudden, God's Spirit came over me and says, I woke up minutes later and I'm a different person. And says, you know, I can't stop crying. I weep all, somebody says something, I just start crying. He said, God's Spirit is, I know He's real. I know He's powerful. I know He wants to use me to change the world. And that young woman was changed forever because the Holy Spirit moved on her in a powerful way. And that same experience didn't happen to me, but it happened to her. And God knew that she needed that kind of experience to change her life. I don't know what God's Holy Spirit wants to do for you. I don't know how He wants to move in your life, but I know that He wants to change you today to be the man, the woman He wants you to be. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? How do you know more of God's Spirit in your life? I would say simply this. Seek first His kingdom. Every day this week, will you take just a few minutes and go, you know, today I sought out God. Just today, this morning, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to spend a little time in the Word. I'm going to spend a little bit of time praying. I want to seek God's presence. That was the advice I gave to Aunt Elizabeth. I said, Aunt Elizabeth, this summer, every day, would you seek a little bit of God every day? Just pray every day. Read your Bible a little bit every day. And then seek first His kingdom. What does that mean? Discover what God is doing and say, God, I want to be a part of what You're doing. See, God's kingdom is what God's doing. And I want to be a part of what You're doing. So we've already got her connected with student ministry this summer, and she's going to get involved in what God's doing in student ministry. What do you need to get involved in? If you want to be full of the Spirit, you got to be where God's at. You got to be doing what God's doing. And He, trust me, you know, Jesus didn't say, go find the kingdom. What did He say? Go seek the kingdom, and what? You'll find it. Some of us want to find it, and then we're going to do it. You're never going to find it until you seek it. And when you seek it, the kingdom, you'll find it. The final thing I would say to you is the Holy Spirit wants to commune with you today. This great benediction, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're going to take communion in just a moment. And in communion, the Holy Spirit shows up. How many of you knew that? That you come and you take this bread and you take this cup and you think you're it was representing Jesus' broken body, yes, His blood shed, yes. But that doesn't happen unless the Holy Spirit moves upon this elements. Unless you invite the Holy Spirit to come into you and to fill you. And that God wants to do that. I love this verse out of Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, where is He? Where is He? He lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. As we prepare to receive this sacrament, we want to receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what's going to happen in these next few moments, but God does. I want the Holy Spirit to move in powerful ways in this place. Do you? Let's not resist the Spirit of God as we move forward. Let's trust Him to move in our midst here this morning.